Just a reminder to you that I have a Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, it's As Is Ministries. You can search for it. Just want to use that as a place where you can respond to me that you liked, disliked, disagreed with, agreed with something that I had to say, and just leaving it out there for you. And hopefully as time goes on, I'll add a little bit more to it, maybe some links or whatever, I don't know. But well, yesterday in the United States, it was Memorial Day. Used to be called Decoration Day. It's a holiday designated to remember those who gave their lives in fighting for our country. And over 24 cities claimed to be the birthplace of Memorial Day. In 1966, then President Lyndon Johnson claimed Waterloo, New York, as the birthplace of Memorial Day. Okay, and so it began after the Civil War in 1868. That's kind of an oxymoron, I think, but it's recognized with parades. A lot of people go to the cemetery and put flowers on graves, not just of those that those that gave their lives in the war, but all family members. You know, I remember as a kid, we would go to two or three different cemeteries where my grandparents and uncles and all were buried. And, you know, we'd go and we'd sometimes take our own lawnmower with us to mow the area and plant flowers and have cut flowers. A lot of times lilacs were in bloom about then. And so we'd cut some lilacs from our trees and take them. But it was a time that there were services. Our kids were in marching band, and I remember that they had to march on Memorial Day in the three different parades. They had them all timed just right where they would take the band to three different parades and they would march. And there's usually a speaker of some kind. And but, you know, for a lot of people, it was just a day off of work or out of school, and I think that's probably more the case now than ever before. But it's good to remember those that have sacrificed all. Okay, so let's pray. Father, help us to always remember those that have given their lives to give us the freedoms that we have here in America, in Europe, and in so many other places where people are free to believe what they want to believe and say what they want to say. Lord, somebody had to die for that to happen. And so, Lord, we give you thanks that the freedom that Christ has given us, that through his death that we are free as well, and we just praise you for that. So, Lord, as we look at your word today, Lord, just help us to see what you got for us. And, Lord, help us to maybe listen for something new or be reminded of something we've heard maybe many, many times. But, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't think my message has really anything to do with Memorial Day, but I just wanted to share that. I think we all know of someone, a family member that we maybe never met, that died in a war someplace in the world. You know, I know that there's people that listen to my podcasts in Japan and Europe and China and Australia. And you know, there's people dying in wars everywhere. And it's, I think, good to have a time to be able to remember those that gave their lives, mostly men, but certainly women as well. So now on to what my message really is going to be about, and that's you, not you. Where do you think this is going to go? Well, I want to look at a familiar verse, but I want to look at it in its context because, you know, a lot of times we just take a verse and we hang on to that, but we don't look at the verses before or after and put it in its context and see what it's maybe really talking about. So different Bibles divide scripture into sections. and some of them do it the same, some do it differently. You know, I mean, you can look at the NIV Bible by different publishers, and they will divide it differently. So the verse I want to look at is sometimes separate from the preceding verses, so I'm going to just start where I want to start. And that's going to be with Romans 8, 26 to 30. And in the New Living Translation, this is what Paul tells us. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit leads us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him, and having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. Now, I'm going to do my best to stay on track, because in that passage, there's probably five or six messages, so I may be coming back to that passage a few more times. But I want to look at that familiar verse, verse 28. Okay, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Now, if you're anything like me, God forbid, you have used this verse wrongly. Okay, someone that you know of, you know, their spouse has been unfaithful. You know, a mortgage has been foreclosed. They've gotten a report from the doctor of cancer. Their child has been arrested. Business has gone bankrupt. 15-year-old daughter is pregnant. The death of a child. Fired unjustly. You know, you name it. You know, it's one of those unexplainable situations. And you tell this hurting person this. You know that God causes everything to work together for good. And you stop. Okay, you stopped mid-verse. But maybe you said something very wrong to that person. If that person is not a believer, that verse is not for them. Because the rest of the verse goes on to say, okay, it starts out, we know that God causes everything to work together for good, but it goes on to say, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Okay, so in other words, if that's not you, in the second part of the verse, the first part of the verse isn't for you then. Now that sounds pretty harsh, but let's look at verse 27. It says, the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Okay, us believers, not everyone. Okay, just like it said in verse 28, those who love God and are called. Okay, now, God may have a purpose for everything that happens in the world, but things that happen in the life of a believer, God is going to use for His glory. I believe that God allows things to happen in an unbeliever's life to draw that person or those people to Himself. And I've seen it happen. Okay, when our oldest son, who's now almost 38, when he was between 7th and 8th grade that summer, a young man was in his class that, you know, of course he knew and we kind of knew, died very suddenly. And well, he was in the hospital, in Children's Hospital, for a few days before you know, the family was told that, you know, there's just nothing there. You know, if we turn off the machines, he's gone. And so that's what they had them do. But that brought that family to the Lord. Okay. The mother and father became very active in the church, gave their lives to the Lord. And so it made a difference. God used that to bring them to him. Now, I'm not saying that he killed Chad, so this couple would come to know him, but because Chad died, that's what happened. The first church that I served part-time, there was a baby that was born, and I'm trying to remember what it was that she had, but anyways, like this huge growth on kind of the side of her face and her chin and her neck. And she was in the children's hospital for a long time. A couple that, this is her first child, they weren't involved in any church anywhere, and they started coming to church, came to the Lord, gave their lives to the Lord, and the Lord used that. A little two-year-old boy with leukemia brought his family to the Lord, you know, in his life and in his death. But God uses those things. So God touched the life of a child. I'm not saying God caused Chad to die. I'm not saying God put this growth on this newborn baby. I'm not saying that God gave Bryce leukemia. But through that child's life, others came to know the Lord. Did he work things together for good? That would be debatable. Did good come from those things? Yeah, it did. Okay, as much as we hated to see those things happen, God used that for good. When a tragedy happens in life or in a family, one of two things happen. One, it draws them closer together and closer to the Lord. Or the other thing is, it just drives a wedge between people, husband and wife, parents and children, you know, whatever it may be. And it kind of drives them away from the Lord as well. You know, in Genesis 50, Joseph, you know, he'd been sold by his brothers and was in captivity and all. He was a slave. And, you know, then he became like number two man in Egypt. And in Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph is speaking to his brothers after they came looking for food. And they didn't know who he was, but he knew who they were. He said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God can and God does use every situation we find ourselves in or put ourselves in. I want to share a fable with you that maybe you've heard before. I've seen it in different forms. But this is how it goes. One day in late summer, an old farmer was working in his field with his old sick horse. The farmer felt compassion for the horse and desired to lift its burden. So he left his horse loose to go to the mountains and live out the rest of its life. Soon after, neighbors from the nearby village visited, offering their condolences, and said, "What a shame, now your horse is gone. You, how unfortunate you are. You must be very sad. How will you work? How will you live? And how can you prosper?" And the farmer replied, "Who knows? We shall see." 2 days later, the old horse came back, now rejuvenated, after meandering in the mountainsides while eating the wild grasses. He came back with 12 new, younger, and healthy horses, which followed the old horse into the corral. Word got out in the village of the old farmer's good fortune, and it wasn't long before people stopped by to congratulate the farmer on his good luck. "How fortunate you are," they exclaimed. "You must be very happy." Again, the old farmer softly said, "Who knows? We shall see." At daybreak the next morning, the farmer's only son set off to attempt to train the new wild horses. But the farmer's son was thrown to the ground and broke his leg. One by one, the villagers arrived during the day to bemoan the farmer's latest misfortune. "Oh, what a tragedy! Your son won't be able to help you farm with a broken leg. You'll have to do all the work yourself. How will you survive? Ah, you must be very sad." Calmly, going about his usual business, the farmer answered, "Who knows? We shall see." Several days later, a war broke out. The emperor's men arrived in the village, demanding that young men come with them to be conscripted into the emperor's army. As it happened, the farmer's son was deemed unfit because of his broken leg. "What very good fortune you have," the villagers exclaimed, as their own young sons were marched away. "You must be very happy." "Who knows? We shall see," replied the old farmer, as he headed off to work in his field alone. As time went by, the broken leg healed, but the son was left with a slight limp. Again, the neighbors came to pay their condolences. "Oh, what bad luck! Too bad for you!" But the farmer simply replied, "Who knows? We shall see." As it turned out, the other young village boys had died in the war, and the old farmer and his son were the only able-bodied men capable of working in the village lands. The old farmer became wealthy and was very generous to the villagers. They said, "Oh, how fortunate you are! You must be very happy." To which the old farmer replied, "Who knows? We shall see." Okay, so who knows? We shall see. Half of that is true. We shall see. Okay? We don't know when something happens what the outcome is going to be. Because the first part of that is who knows, and who knows? God knows. Okay? We know that God knows, and that's what's important. In Matthew 10:29, Jesus tells us this in the New Living Translation. He says, "What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it." Nothing is outside God's plan. But that still does not make Romans 8:28 true for non-believers. Okay, now, looking this up, I found a lot of different songs that use this passage or this verse. But there's one that we sang in choir back in Cherry Creek, New York, when we were serving there back in the 90s, 1990s, not the 1890s. Okay, but the chorus of it goes like this. "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called to according to his purpose, my friend. It is written in his word," in the book of Romans 8:28, "to the church the apostle Paul did state, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord." Now, let's get one thing straight. The song said it all, had the whole verse in there. And we can't set that aside, okay? But God wants good things for all people. And his children are number one on that list. But at the same time, God allows bad things in believers' lives as well. Well, why? I mean, there's the book that's been out there for years, a bestseller, is Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Well, let's make that apply to believers and make a change and say, why do bad things happen to God's people? That way it applies to all of us. Because I think we all know some really good people that really want nothing to do with God or the church, and they think their goodness will get them to heaven, if they even believe that there's a heaven. But that's another message for another time. But we need to remember, when those dark times come, God will use it. Who can better help a parent that's lost a child than someone that's lost a child? Who can better help a man that's been out of work for months than someone that's been there and gone through that? Who can better help somebody going through a divorce than someone that's been divorced themselves? Who can better help someone dealing with a spouse or a parent with Alzheimer's than someone that's been there themselves? Who can better help a person that's been diagnosed with cancer than somebody that's still dealing with cancer themselves? God allows those things to happen in the lives of believers so they can help somebody else. So they can go to them and not say, I know exactly how you feel, because you never do, okay? That's one of the dumbest things you can tell somebody that's going through a hard time, because no, you don't know exactly how they feel, okay? You can say, you know, I can imagine how you must feel because this is how I felt when I went through that, okay? You may feel totally different than I do, but, you know, I was in that same situation. So God does not allow his child to go through something without there being a purpose. It's just part of the learning process, the growing process as a Christian. Does that mean we'd be better off not believing? Duh, no. Because unbelievers, they go through the same things. Only they don't have the strength of the Lord to help them. They don't have a loving church family to support them. Let me give you Romans 8:28 again. Now, I want to use the Amplified version. And if you're familiar with the Amplified version, you know that it has all these little places where it has these brackets in there, where it'll say something, then it has a bracket that I guess kind of goes on to explain it a little more, or as the title of the Bible says, to amplify it. So I'm going to try and give you the brackets. And I'll try to use a different voice when I get to the brackets, okay? We know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Okay, I know, probably didn't do real well, but let's try it in the English Standard Version. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. One word that I found in most versions, King James, New American Standard, NIV, you know, most every version out there, was together. And I found it really interesting. The Greek word that's used there, synodino, it's the only time that that word is used, okay? And what it means is in company with, to sympathize, or travail in pain together. So we could translate that part of verse 28 like this: all things work through pain for good. How true is that? The pain of a wayward child, a lost job, a divorce, sickness, death, failed exams, moving away, a bankrupt business. Okay, Christians are not exempt from pain. But Christians are not alone in pain. A verse that I'm sure you know and read and have heard many, many, many times from the New American Standard. This is Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The key word here, through. Being comforted by the fact that God is with you, helping you, guiding you, protecting you. That is what you have that the world is lacking. God with you as you go through whatever the circumstances may be. You're not alone, never will be. So, if you're a believer, Romans 8:28 is you. If you are not a believer, Romans 28 is not you. So the only way you can have that pertain to you in a realistic way is you have to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to know that Christ died on the cross for you, for your sins. Okay? He was without sin, but he took your sin to the cross and died there for it. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he said, I'm coming back. You best be ready. And the only way you can be ready is to give your life to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.